I'm going to be bringing the message to you from God's Word this morning, but before I do that, I just need to bring the vision statement stuff to you. Right, thank you. Well, as if you haven't guessed already, it's Father's Day. So I wanted to start with a story about my father, but then I heard he was coming today. Welcome, Dad. So I'll go one generation further and tell a story about my grandfather. No, sorry, I was going to tell the grandfather story anyway. My grandfather, on my mother's side, loved cars. He loved driving, and I travelled with him on numerous occasions. I remember one trip, we were coming back from Auckland to Gisborne. Those of you who know the road before the hills into Gisborne, there's a gorge. Dad, you need to help me out here. The gorge into Waiweka. Waiweka Gorge. Okay. And I remember distinctly this trip. My grandfather had a new car and we were driving along and there was a sign and the sign had rocks falling down and we were driving on the side that had the rocks falling down. We didn't drive on the side that the rocks fell down on for too much longer. He drove on the other side of the road because he didn't want rocks falling down on his nice new car. Not to worry about the cars that might have been coming the other way. I remember it vividly. Now he loved driving and he found freedom, as most of us do, in having a driver's license and being able to get out and about. Now you younger ones might not realise this, yet, but you don't actually get a license for life, okay? You actually go through your complicated, much more complicated than nowadays, getting your driver's license, but it doesn't last forever. You get to a certain age and you have to be retested, okay? Now, my grandfather had got through that retesting several times, but when he was 92, he failed his driver's test. He was not too pleased about failing his driving test and thought that the driving examiner had got it wrong. And he was not going to give his license up easily. So he went for his license again. There was even a suggestion of going to another town to sit it because the examiner might be a better examiner in that town. Well, my grandfather persisted and at 92, he got his license. A little while later, the same year, the Lord took him to glory and he did not have to face life without a license. But this story was going through my head as I was working through the study this week. You might be thinking, what is the link? Bear with me, we'll come to it. So today we're talking about the gospel holding us to the end. And why that's so important. You see, this is the link. What if the gospel were like a driver's license? Then what trouble would we be in? We could have our license today, and in fact we could have it for most of our life, but it could be taken off us if we're no longer deemed to be acceptable in our life. Could we be saved now and then lose our salvation before the end of our life? These are the questions, some of the questions that were going through my mind as I thought about this. And praise God, salvation, the gospel is not like a driver's license. We don't have to keep on worrying, will we get to an acceptable level going forward? But we are told, and in our study we addressed a number of questions as you worked through, one of those was to examine ourselves. To make sure that we have understood the gospel, that there is fruit in our life, that we are living out the gospel message. We're reminded of what Jesus said would happen in the end days. People would say, but Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And he would say, away from me, I never knew you. And they had done things in the name of the Lord. They thought they were saved. They thought they had it right. But Jesus says, no, away from me, I never knew you. So we are called to examine ourselves. We are called to examine whether we have understood the call of the gospel message on our life. It's not a one-time event. Yay, I've got my license, I passed the test, that's it, I can do whatever I like now. That's the way some of us treat our driver's licenses. I passed. If we had to sit that test again, I wonder if we would pass now. Because we haven't kept working at the skills of driving. We're called to work out our salvation, to keep living it out. It's not a one-time event, but rather it's a life-changing event. But the thing in the study this week that's really gripped me and that I want to focus on today is the importance of the gospel in the times of trouble. Our story this week referred us, or our study this week referred us to Job, a well-known story, and we're not going to spend much time thinking about Job. But you'll recall the story where Satan said to God, he's only praising you and loyal to you and faithful to you because you've protected him and he's got all this wealth that you've given him. Take that away and he won't think well of you. And God allowed that to happen and still Job praised God. And he said, well, that's all right, but that's just because you've kept him healthy. You take his health away, the thing very dear to his heart. You take his family away, dear to his heart. He won't praise you. God allowed that to happen. And we see, we're reminded of the reaction of Job's wife, curse God and die. But Job's reaction, and we sing it sometimes in that song, we say, he gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But the point is not about Job's reaction there. It's about how he handled those troubles, and we read that in the chapters going forward, and the questions, the demands he made of God, the questions, I want answers, God, why? And we find that God never answers Job's questions, but he gives him some questions back. Where were you when? Can you do this? Basically, questions designed to make Job realize the greatness of God, his creativeness, his power, who God is. His answer to Job was, you might have all these questions, but actually, you need to understand more of who I am. I don't know about you, but I hated English at school. I got 35% school suit English. And one of the hardest parts about English was where they'd ask you to write what you were feeling or what you were thinking. Good grief. Hard enough to say, let alone write it. But anyway. So I've struggled with this, but it's one of the things that I love about why I love the book of Psalms. Because in the Psalms, although I can't write what I'm thinking very well, the psalmist did. And we find them pouring out their hearts, and we get the benefit of reading them and understanding them. So today, as we understand, as we look at the gospel, and we look at its importance for us in times of trouble, I want us to focus on two psalms, Psalm 73 and Psalm 77. I wonder if you can relate to the positions that the psalmists find themselves in. We're going to read the first part of both psalms, so if you want to turn to Psalm 73, we'll read the first part and just listen to these words and say, have I ever felt that? Does that express what's deep down and sometime in my life I've had a problem with? Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth, and the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Psalm 77, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout, oh, that God would listen to me. When I was deep in trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. As I read those two psalms and think of the position that the psalmist is expressing, it resonates in my heart things that I've struggled with down through the years. Various different things. Sometimes it has been like struggling in business, and why is it that people who seem to wantonly and brazenly rip other people off do all right, in fact get rewarded in business, and some who try to do the right thing struggle all the time? Why is it that people can say things that are just so awful and mean, and yet people flock to them? And when you try to speak love and truth, people don't want to know you at all. Why is it that sometimes life just feels so unfair? It's all wrong. It's the wrong way round. What's happening? This is just not right, God. Sometimes it might not be hard things like that. It might be like the Psalms in 77. It just feels like God's not there anymore. It's just, hey, who am I? Man, I'm not good enough for God. Who do I think I am that God would even want to care about me? Maybe it's been a result of some sin in your life, and you think that, hey, God can never, this is too much, I've gone too far, God's given up on me. Maybe it's something that's happened, you think, I was never worthy of God in the first place. Maybe you've laid awake crying out to God and just feeling like he's shut the door. That's it. No more. These are the positions the psalmist found themselves in. This is the position I found myself in. And I know I'm not the only one. We all go through things in life that are hard, that call us to question, where's God in this? Where's my faith? How does that help me at this time? What am I supposed to do? I feel like I'm all alone. What a waste of time even trying connect with God. So the psalmist lays bare these questions, and if we're honest, they're questions we've all addressed in our lives at various times. And for me, even in very, very recent times, I know God loves me, and I know God helps me, and I have as most of you will know, been through a hard time with a business partner dying. And God was faithful through all of that. Maybe you've come through something, but then you get to the other side and you feel like I felt last Sunday. I was up in Hawke's Bay and I was at church and Psalm 23 was preached on. I love that psalm. But I got to the end and Ruth said, "What's the matter?" And I said to her, "I feel like I am just exhausted. I feel like I have just been running on empty, just surviving. But that my quiet time is just mechanical. My prayers to God are just mechanical. I'm just hanging on at the moment." And then I got a message reminding me that I was speaking this week and I thought, "Lord, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that?" But God had it all in hand, because I get home and I start preparing, and what's it all about? The times of trouble, the times that we feel God is not there. And my thoughts this week have just been so refreshing to come back to, actually, what do we need to do in these times? And that's why I love these psalms, because the psalmist doesn't leave us just saying, "Hey, yep, life's like that forever. Bang, great. Shut the psalm." What a depressing way it would be to end. But the psalmists don't leave us hanging there. They go forth. They give us some help in understanding how we can journey through these things in life. Like a lot of things, there's nothing new under the sun, and the psalmists could look back and could reflect. And you may be able to too, and I can too, at times earlier in my life where it's felt like this, and I've looked back and reflected, and I look back and reflect now, and I can see God had not left me. God is always there. God endures with us. His love is faithful. But right at the point you're in the situation, it's really hard to think that. So let's read what the psalmist did. And take it from there. So in Psalm 73, the psalmist moves on. He said, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is." And then he says this, "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning." Then I realized that my heart was bitter and that I was torn up inside. "I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." Psalm 77, verse 13. Verse 11. "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along the road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their servants. So here we see two different things that the psalmist recalled. And they're both great reminders of what we should do when we find ourselves in these situations. In Psalm 77, the psalmist recalled what God had done for the nation of Israel. This psalmist had not seen it, but he had heard about it down through the generations. It was told from parent to child to child to child what God had done, who their great God was. If they ever forgot of what God, or thought God was not there for them, they were reminded to look back in their history and to see. Man, some amazing things happened in their history. In this case, he recalls their fleeing from Egypt and the God parting the Red Sea, taking them through a way that none of them thought possible, but was God's plan for them. And they could look back, and when they faced impossible things in the future, they could look back and say, remember when God did the impossible last time? So when this psalmist was deep in despair, his solution was to turn to God. Not to say, God's given up on me and I'm walking away, but to turn to God. To recall all you have done, was his words. It's an amazing thing to do. Sometimes it's really hard to do. And that's why we need to be prepared beforehand. We need to be prepared before the hard times come along. We need to have thought, what are the amazing things God has done? And I'm sure you can look back on your life and you can see things God has done. You might not have liked them at the time, but you look back now and see the benefit of them for you and maturing you and helping you in your walk. And so the psalmist is saying, look back, see what he's done. He'll do it again. And then Psalm 73, the psalmist here is thinking about the character of God. He's saying, I see all these things in the world, but actually when I see things from God's point of view, when I look at it through God's eyes, I see the actual outcome, the real result. I don't get caught up. I can lift my eyes away from what I see humanly happening and what I think is happening, and I can look and see it as God sees it. That gives a totally different perspective. A perspective that helps us through these times of trouble. My heart may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. The gospel message, and the gospel is a gospel that lasts to the end. The gospel is just not a message of Christ dying and us becoming a Christian, believing that and becoming a Christian, and that's it. The gospel message spreads right through to eternity, what is still yet to come. The fact that God has prepared for us a place in heaven. That God loves us, that God wants to take us to a point where we are fully redeemed. He has done his work in salvation past with Christ on Calvary. He is working in us at the moment to change us, to mature us. But there is coming a day in the future when we will be perfect in God's presence, where we will not be affected by sin, where the troubles of this world will be no more, and we will be face to face with God, our Saviour. When focusing on that, the things of today, although hard, are small in comparison to the future hope that we have in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle how hard it is now. I know it is hard. We're not talking about a gospel message that just says, it's all going to be wonderful. We're still living in a sin-cursed world. Life is not all wonderful, and it won't all be wonderful. But a life to come, it will be. The gospel message holds us to the end, and the end is still yet to come. The end is when we will be forever in God's presence. The troubles of this world will be gone, and we will be praising our God and Saviour as long or forever. So I don't know what position you're in today. You might be thinking, man, this guy's a real worrywart and a depressed, you know, oh man, he's talking about troubles. Life's not like, life's fantastic. And if that's the case for you at the moment, wonderful. I'm really pleased for you. My plea, my challenge to you is use this time. Use this time to understand who God is, what he has done for you, so that when those times come, and they will come, you won't be surprised by them, and you will be equipped to face them because you will know, you have looked and understood and thought on who God is and what he has done for you through Jesus Christ. And that no matter what situation you are in, if you have trusted him, if you have accepted the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have believed that he is God and cried out in repentance to him, you are saved. You have an eternity coming that is perfect. Maybe you're in the middle of some trouble now, and it's really hard to say, hey, it's all very well for you to say that, Bruce, but you know, you don't understand how hard it is for me right now. Let me tell you, we have one that does understand. Our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he lived as a man. Incarnate, God came and lived as man amongst us. And the Bible tells us he suffered everything we suffer. He knows everything that we're going through. So we're not alone. But it's really hard when you're there. Can I ask you, can I challenge you, reach out to someone to journey with you, help you, pray for you, to unburden that with you, to just be there for you. Don't go it alone. There are plenty of people here today who know the hardships of life, who would be only too happy to get alongside you. You might think that you're the only person that's ever faced this problem. Let me assure you, you're not. I found that out. I thought some of my problems no one would understand, but people do. God provides, and he provides in bringing other people alongside us. He provides in his word for us to turn and look and understand who he truly is. Can I encourage you to do that? Perhaps you've journeyed through and now you're at a point where it's just exhaustion. You've gone through, you're thinking, no, where am I at now? And it just seems like can I encourage you to do as the psalmist did? Think on the gospel. Remind ourselves of who our God is, what he has done, and what he has planned for us for the future. Most of all, don't try and walk this alone. We're here as a church, as a group of people. It's not just to come here on Sundays with masks that we've all got it together. We don't all have it together. Well, okay, I don't have it all together. I won't make a judgment on you. I don't have it all together. I need others to walk beside me and help me each day. My pick is that you probably do too. My challenge to you is, if in this week, as you think about the gospel and you think about the troubles and where you are in life and you are struggling, don't leave today without talking to someone. Having someone pray for you. Spend some time just sharing. The elders, Daryl, myself, anyone would be happy to talk to you. So just, hey, we're all human. We all have issues. Let's share and help each other through them, because we have a great hope in the gospel that will hold us till the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your message. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the salvation you have provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know, we acknowledge that we sometimes struggle, sometimes we feel far from you. We know you are not far from us, but we struggle, and Lord, we pray that as the psalmist did, that we might too be challenged to look to who you are, your character, the works you have done, the things you have planned for the future for us, Lord, and that with those things we might endure to the end in your power and your strength. Lord, I pray for any who are struggling today, Lord, help them to share with someone they can share with, Lord, who can lead them, walk with them and you in this journey, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.